Today's shir is Masechta Nedarim Daf Mem Beis, and we will begin on Daf Mem Aleph on the Beis at the Mishnah, the last Mishnah on the bottom of the Amid, six lines from the bottom. The Mishnah continues to discuss if people aren't allowed to benefit from each other, what may they and may they not do together. So says the Mishnah, La Yoichel Min Ovois, they can't eat from one bowl. Now, Ovois, the Rishonim explain, is the type of bowl that they used to give to people who were workers. In those days, workers typically got served meals, and the workers, if two workers are now at benefit from each other, they can't eat from the same bowl. And as Rishonim explained, for even though we learned in the previous year, when they're eating from a large bowl where there's plenty of food, there should be no reason to prohibit it, because there's enough for everybody, and one isn't leaving over for the other. When you're talking about a bowl that's served to workers, workers are typically very, very hungry. And whatever you give them, they're going to eat. And therefore, there's a real concern that one worker is going to leave over for the next worker who may not benefit from him. And therefore, the Mishnah says they can't eat from the same bowl. Continues the Mishnah. They're not allowed to work in the same row in the field. The Gemara is going to explain this in a moment. They may work in the same field as long as they're baruch menu, they're far from each other. Explains the Gemara. If the two workers are near each other, everyone agrees that they can't work near each other. Why? Because if the first worker is working in the field and is plowing or doing what other labor in the field, and he prepares the earth for the next worker, so what happens is that the next worker benefited if I prepare the ground, and then he, who's not allowed to benefit from me, is right behind me, so he benefits from me. So that, everybody agrees, is usur. Machloikis harishonim, what is considered close? So the way most rishonim say, 4 or 5 amos, that the entire distance between the two workers is 4 to 5 amos, that's considered close. Ki pligi, where is there a machloikis between Ramei and Rabbonin? Baruchik, if the two workers are far from each other. So there, conceptually, there is no problem, because they're so far from each other, one is not benefiting from the other. Harameyah still holds that it's Osir, because he holds Gazrin and Rochik Mishim Karav, the Kamapar Leil Arakameh. Since when it's close, we just learned that it's Osir, so he says even when they're far away, we don't want them to work in the same field, because they could come to benefit from each other. Rabbanan Savri and Rabbanan say, in the case where it's close, so there we have good reason to say it's Osir. If they're not close, Lo Gazrinan. Says the Mishnah. Hamuda Hanor Mechaveru Lifnei Shvius. We know that during the Shemitah year, a person is allowed to, and we're going to discuss this more, Mitzvah Shem, as we get deeper into the Shir. A person could go into anyone's field and take his fruit. The fruit doesn't belong to the owner of the field. Let's say somebody makes a neder before Shemitah year. It's a non-Shemitah year. The halacha is, I'm not allowed to walk into your field. I'm not allowed to eat from your fruit. Why am I not allowed to walk into your field? So the way most Rishonim explain the Mishnah is we go back to something that we discussed at the beginning of the parak. We'll discuss it, Mitzvah Shem, in the next parak again. There's machlokes Rabbi Elazar and Chacham about vitor. Vitor means that in those days, typically, if someone sold a pound of apples to someone else, the shopkeeper would throw in 1 or 2 apples for free. So if you're not allowed to benefit from me, you're allowed to buy from me, you're not benefiting, you're paying me for it. But am I allowed to throw in one or two apples for free that I normally do? Chacham hold, yes, vitor, it's a small amount, it's insignificant, and it's mutter. Rav Elazar disagrees. He says the vitor is osur. Even the smallest amount of benefit is osur. Here too, say most Rishonim, our Mishnah is saying that since you're not allowed to benefit from me, so even though walking into my field is not that significant, it's also for you to walk into my field. According to those Rishonim, the Chachamim would disagree, and they would say you're allowed to walk into my field. However, the Shita explains that our Mishnah may even reflect the opinion of the Chachamim, because there are times where me allowing you into my field is a significant benefit. For example, says the Shita, in the summer, when the crops and the produce is growing, me letting anyone into the field could cause real damage, it could cause real trespassing. So if I let you in, That means it's at my great expense, and if you're not allowed to benefit from me, you may not walk into the field. Ubishvius, but in the Shemitah year, and the Gemara is going to go into great length in explaining the case of the Mishnah, so we'll wait for the Gemara. Any Yerel Tech today, you're still not allowed to go into my field. You could eat from the fruit that's growing outside of the field. The fruit in the field you may not eat, but since the fruit is not mine, so when you're eating the fruit, you're not benefiting from me, so it's mutter. Says the Mishnah another din, similar. If I made a nether that you're not allowed to benefit from my food, because walking into the field is not considered a food-related benefit, just walking in the field. But eating the fruit of my field is a food-related benefit, and therefore is aser. However, in the Shemitah year, yored v'oichel. Says the Gemara. Rav Shmuel Damri Tavayu. Rav and Shmuel explained the Mishnah in the following way. If I say that all my property you may not benefit, if I say this nether lifnei shvius, I make this nether before Shemitah comes in a non-Shemitah year, the loch is, even though I made the nether last year when it wasn't a Shemitah year, so then the nether is certainly effective. The Chiddush Rav and Shmuel say is that this year is a Shemitah year, so the fruit is no longer mine. Still, since when I made the nether, it was an effective nether, it remains effective even for the next year. Vim b'shviyas nadar, but if I make the nether in the first place in the Shemitah year, then the halacha is any yar l'toich sadeyu, to the field you may not enter, aval oichel min anoitus, you're allowed to eat from the fruit. So the year after, certainly, the nether comes back. So the way the Ran explains the Mishnah, based on Rav and Shmuel, the Mishnah is teaching us two cases. The first case of the Mishnah is that the nether was made before Shemitah. When the nether is made before Shemitah, certainly then the nether is effective. It's not a Shemitah year. And Rav and Shmuel continue in telling us that next year, which is a Shemitah year, it doesn't have to be next year, it could be a couple of years later too, the nether still remains effective, one din. And another din that Rav and Shmuel teach us is that if the nether was made in the Shemitah year, then it's not effective as far as the fruit is concerned, but it is effective as far as the land is concerned. And in fact, the Mefarshim make a very interesting comment. We've discussed previously in our Masechta, we learned the Sugyas Baruch Hashem, of nether shota mektsasa huta kulay. If a nether is somewhat annulled, it's completely annulled. Say to Mefarshim, in this case, it's a Shemitah year. And let's review what we just learned. If it's in a Shemitah year and I made a nether that you may not benefit from me, so you're allowed to eat my fruit, but you're not allowed to go into my property. So part of the nether was never effective. As far as the fruit is concerned, it was never effective. Say to Mefarshim, this is not a case of nether shuta mektsasa huta kulay. Nether shuta mektsasa huta kulay means when we have a nether, the nether took hold, and now part of it is annulled. The halacha is that the rest of it is annulled. Here, the nether only took hold. If the nether was only made in the Shemitah year, it only took hold on the property, and it didn't take hold on the payrus, and that's not an example of nether shuta mektsasa huta kulay. Continues the Gemara. Rabbi Yochanan Shlokish d'amri tavayu. Rabbi Yochanan Shlokish, again, we're following the Ran's explanation of the Mishnah, have a different explanation. They say the following. Nechasei olecho, if I made this nether lifnei shvius, if in a non-Shemitah year I make a nether that you're not allowed to benefit from me, so obviously you're not allowed to walk into my property, and obviously you're not allowed to eat my fruit. However, they say, even though the nether was made before Shemitah, if Higiyah Shvius, once Shemitah arrives, you're not allowed to go into my field, but you're allowed to eat the fruit. So the way the Ran explains the Mishnah according to Rabbi Yochanan Rish Lakish, at least at this point, the Mishnah is only teaching us one din. If I made a nether before Shemitah, so for that time the nether is chal. But once Shemitah comes, my nether cannot be effective on the fruit. And therefore, even though the nether was made prior to Shemitah, as far when the Shemitah year comes, you're allowed to benefit from my fruit, you're not allowed to benefit from my property. And certainly, if I make the nether during the Shemitah year, the nether is not effective on the fruit. So here too, the Mefarshim ask, why is this not a situation of neder shutta mektsasa utukulay? I made a neder in a non-Shemitah year that you're not allowed to benefit from me. Everybody agrees that during that period, you're not allowed to eat my fruit, you're not allowed to go into my property. Rav Yochanan and Rish Lakish teach us that once Shemitah comes, you are allowed to eat my fruit. So if you're allowed to eat my fruit, we have a situation of neder shutta mektsasa. Once it's a neder shutta mektsasa, it should be utukulay. Answers the Mefarshim, a beautiful teretz. What does neder shutta mektsasa utukulay mean? I make a neder, and then I recognize that I made an error. And I go to Rav for the Pesach. So the halach is, once the Rav annuls part of the neder, neder shutta mektsasa utukulay. However, in a situation such as this, I didn't go to the Rav and have the neder partially annulled. It was annulled by itself, because in the Shemitah year, the payers aren't mine. In that situation, that's not a situation of neder shutta mektsasa utukulay. And they bring a beautiful raya, and we discuss this. Even though we learned, there's a halach of neder shutta mektsasa utukulay, and if I make a neder, and I go to Rav and have it partially annulled, neder shutta mektsasa utukulay becomes completely annulled. But we learned there's another way to break a neder, to have a neder annulled. And that's a husband or a father can be mefer the neder of a wife, of a daughter, under certain circumstances. We learned that let's say a husband, a father, are mefer part of the neder, but not the entire neder. There we said the part that the mefer is mefer, the part that they weren't mefer still remains. Why? Because it wasn't that the neder was annulled because it was a mistake. There was a technical issue. There was a hafara on the neder. Shemitah came. And therefore the part that's affected is affected, and the rest remains whole. Now the Ram goes into a very important discussion. Can you just open the window, please? The Ram goes into a very important discussion. He says, if you look at the words, and the Gemara is going to focus on this, and that's why we're going to spend a little time discussing it. If we look at the words of Rabbi Yochanan and Rish Lakish, what case of Rabbi Yochanan and Rish Lakish discussing? When I said, Nechasai, my property, you may not benefit from my property. So ask the Ram, maybe Rabbi Yochanan and Rish Lakish say their din, that if I made the neder before Shemitah, it's not effective during Shemitah, because what was the wording of my neder? Nechasai, my property. It's Shemitah, it's not my property. Shemitah, HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, Kali Kol Haaretz, the entire world is his. But let's say I would have used the words of Nechasim, Elu, these property, maybe Rabbi Yochanan Rish Lakish would agree that the neder remains, since the neder was made before Shemitah, it remains effective during Shemitah. Who says that in that case they'll still agree? Says the Ran, a gevalde gevart. He says, if Rabbi Yochanan and Rish Lakish are limiting and only saying their din, at least at this point of the Gemara, in a case of Nechasai, it's obvious that once Shemitah comes, the neder is not valid. Because it's not Nechasai, it's not my property. I don't need Rabbi Yochanan and Rish Lakish to teach me that din. It must be, even though that's not what they said, it must be that they're saying their din, even in the case of Nechasim Elu, because they hold that the neder is only affected before Shemitah, not during the Shemitah year. Ask the Gemara. So now the Gemara tries to analyze what is the basis of the machloikis of Rav and Shmuel and Rav Yochanan and Rish Lakish. And just to review for one quick moment, what is the machloikis? If a neder was made before the Shemitah year, does it remain valid during the Shemitah year? Rav and Shmuel say it does. Rav Yochanan and Rish Lakish say it doesn't. What's the machloikis? Lame v'hakimufki. The Rav and Shmuel savri. A person can prohibit something while he owns it, even after leaves his rishus. And therefore, yes, during the Shemitah year, these aren't my payers. But when did I make the neder? When they were my payers. I made the neder before Shemitah. So that's why the neder could still remain effective. A person can't do that. I could only make a neder for... It's effective as well. I own it. But this is something I don't own. Another can't be effective. So I saw from the Rishonim, and Reb David Pavarsky discusses this very beautifully. What is the explanation of this Gemara? The simplest explanation is that Rav and Shmuel consider, and we've discussed this, that every nether is hegdish. So when I'm magdish something, I'm magdish it forever. Same here. If before Shemitah I said that you're not allowed to benefit from my payrus, making that neder, saying that koinim, is like making it hegdish. and therefore you can never benefit from it. That's what Rav Shmuel learned. Rav Yochanan of Shlokas say, yes, neder has components of hegdish to it, but it's not the exact same as hegdish. And therefore it's only valid as long as I own it. But the Shemitah here comes, I can't say that you can't eat it. It's not mine to say. That's one way of explaining. Another way that he suggests could it be explained, a very powerful vart. The Torah says, lo yachal dvari, pasuk that we've used many times. What is the Torah teaching us with the words lo yachal dvari? The Torah teaches us the power of speech. The power of speech. I could take something and make it asur to you, make it asur to me, all sorts of things that I could do through my speech. Rav and Shmuel have a very broad application of that power. And therefore they could say something is asur even after it's in my rishus. It's not mine. That's the power of speech. Rav Yochanan and Rav Shlokas say, yes, the Torah teaches us layachal dvarai, but there are limitations. So what's the nafkamina between these two pshatim? So he says a beautiful nafkamina. Rav and Shmuel, Rav Yochanan and Rav Shlokas are discussing the situation that now it's before Shemitah. And that's why the nether is effective. Let's say it's a non-Shemitah year. Next year is a Shemitah year. And I make a nether now, the next year, which is a Shemitah year, you may not benefit from my nechassim. Will the nether be effective? The only reason we were saying it's effective is because when I made the nether, it was in a non-Shemitah year. But here I only want the nether to be effective in the Shemitah year. So according to the first approach that I said most Mefarshim use, it wouldn't be effective. You can't be magdish something that you don't own. So if I only want it to be effective in a Shemitah year, I'm not the owner in the Shemitah year, and it can't be effective. But if we say that the basis of Rav and Shmuel's opinion is the power of speech could be so strong that even next year, I only want the nether to begin in the Shemitah year, I have the power to do that. So the Mefarshim ask, the stipler asks a gvaldig akasha. When I'm making this nether, it's 2-3 years before Shemitah. Those peiros that will grow in the Shemitah year don't exist. So it's a davar shelo b'olam. You can't make a nether on something that doesn't exist. So why is the nether effective, even according to Rav and Shmuel? Says the stipler, the nether is not directed to fruit. Those fruit don't exist here. The nether is directed to the ground that produces the fruit. And that is already here, and that is at this time mine. Now, Farshim also asked another question. This is a very, very fundamental machlokes, at least at this point of the Gemara. If you can make a nether that will be effective even on something that you don't have any ownership control over. Why did the Gemara choose to teach us this machlokes specifically by the subject of Shemitah? Could have taught it to us anywhere. So I saw two pshatim, beautiful pshatim. There are two types of situations when something is no longer mine. Sometimes something is no longer mine because it's yours. And sometimes something is no longer mine but it's nobody else's. In the case of Shemitah, it's not mine anymore, but it doesn't belong to any specific individual. So the chiddush is that even in that case where it doesn't belong to any individual, Rav Yochanan Rav Shlokas still say that I have no ability to make a nether if it doesn't belong to me, even though it doesn't belong to anyone else. That's one way of explaining. Another way of explaining is just the opposite. Shemitah, we know, is for sure going to come. If I own a piece of property, I own this Gemara, right? This Gemara can remain mine forever. So there it makes sense the Rav and Shmuel are going to say that I could say something about this Gemara, even when it's not in my rishus. But in a situation where something is for sure not going to remain mine, what's the example? Shemitah. Shemitah I don't control. Shemitah's coming and I don't own the property, the fruit when Shemitah comes. So perhaps Rav and Shmuel will say that since we know for sure it's coming, it should not be, I should not have the ability to prohibit it because I know for sure it's not going to be mine. Still teach us Rav and Shmuel that that's the power of a nether. Continues the Gemara. MK Nifkli bin Chasim Elu. So ask the Gemara two questions. As we said a moment ago, the Gemara's questions on Rabbi Yochanan and Rish Lakish, the two questions the Gemara is going to ask. And the Mefarshim explain why are we more focused in asking questions on Rabbi Yochanan and Rish Lakish than Rav and Shmuel. Because Rabbi Yochanan and Rish Lakish represent the more lenient opinion, And we know koich da tera adif, we always want to follow the lenient opinion, but it has to withstand challenge. As we said a few minutes ago, quoted the Rambam, where would it be a bigger chiddush for Rabbi Yochanan and Reish Lakish to say their din in the case of nechasim? Not when I say nechasai. Because when I said nechasai, obviously, they're not nechasai when Shemitah comes. So why, when Rabbi Yochanan and Reish Lakish said their opinion, did they use the words nechasai? Why didn't they speak about the case of nechasim elu? Look into the Gemara. When we look at Rabbi Yochanan and Reish Lakish's opinion, they use the case of nechasai. They should have said, if their din applies even when I said nechasim elu, they should have said so. And another question. The Sioux. You're saying that Rabbi Yochanan and Reish Lakish have a halachic principle that one can never make a nether to be effective after the property, after this is no longer in my control. There's a Mishnah. Tanan. Adam Oysadav Rishusoi, Lechashiyetim Rishusoi. There's an explicit Mishnah that teaches us the opposite. The Tanan. Haimel Benoi Koinim Shatan Nenali. Somebody says to his son, you're not allowed to benefit from me. A father says that to his son. The aloch is, mace, the father dies, so he's no longer alive. And the son, Yerushena, may inherit him. But if the father uses stronger words, b'chayov or b'maisai, the father says, obviously they're having problems, this father and son. And the father says, I don't want you to benefit from me, b'chayov b'maisai, when I'm alive and after I pass away. In mace, when the father dies, la Yerushena. But once he's dead, he doesn't own the property. Dead people don't own property. So we see that a person can make a nether, even if that should be chal, after he doesn't have ownership. So it's clear Rabbi Yochanan and Reish Lakish are wrong. And there's a machlokes to show him how to understand what is the son's status to this property. The Ran seems to learn that what happens here is that there is Yerusha, but the Yerusha can't, but he inherits it, but he can't benefit from this property. Other Rishonim say that this nether prevents Yerusha from taking place altogether. It's not really our sugya. So what do we see? That a nether can be effective even when I no longer own the property. So as the Ran explains, in our explanation of Rabbi Yochanan and Reish Lakish, we now have to retreat somewhat. Shani hocha de kamalei b'chayiv v'maisei. Says the Gemara, Rabbi Yochanan and Reish Lakish will agree that when the person is so explicit and he says that the nether should be effective even when it's not in his control, he says it out clearly, like this father who used the words, b'chayai u'b'maisai, the nether is effective. And that's why it's effective there. And it would be effective in such a situation in our Gemara, that if somebody is standing before Shemitah and he explicitly says that the nether should be effective even during the Shemitah year, Rabbi Yochanan and Reish Lakish would agree that with Rav and Shmuel that the nether is effective. The question is when he didn't say it explicitly. So says the Gemara, that question is answered. But we still ask the first question, Rabbi Yochanan. Mikom makom kasha el b'nechasim elu. Mikom makom kasha. Stop here. The kasha, why did Rabbi Yochanan and Reish Lakish choose to say their din? When I said nechasai, they should have said the bigger chiddush when I said the word nechasim elu. So the Gemara retreats from that too. El b'chasim elu kula amalai pligi. Now the Gemara retreats even further back. Rabbi Yochanan and Reish Lakish will agree that not only in a case where I explicitly said that I want the nether to be effective during the Shemitah year, but even in a case where I said that the nether is nechasim elu, if I made the nether before the Shemitah year, the nether will be effective during the Shemitah year. Keeply, so now what are we limiting the machloikis of Rav and Shmuel and Rav Yochanan and Reish Lakish to? When I use the word nechasai, my property. Rav and Shmuel savri, Rav and Shmuel are going to hold, loishna nechasim elu, loishna nechasai, even if I use the words nechasai, that locha will be, adam oiser, the nether, if it was made before Shemitah, will remain effective during Shemitah. Rav Yochanan and Reish Lakish savri, nechasim elu, if somebody used the word nechasim elu, then if it was made before Shemitah, it will remain effective during Shemitah, Adam Oyser. But if somebody said nechasai, my property, so the letter says as long as it's my property. But in the Shemitah, it's not my property. And therefore, ein Adam Oyser. So the machlokes is now whittled down very considerably to one case. If I use the word nechasai, and I made the nether before Shemitah, according to Rav and Shmuel, the nether will still remain effective. According to Rabbi Yochanan and Reish Lakish, it will not be.
If I use the words nechasim elu, or I said something even more explicit, everybody agrees that nada is effective. Ask the Gemara now on Rav and Shmuel, umi kamandam loishna nechasim elu v'lo yishna nechasai. How could you suggest, ask the Gemara, the Rav and Shmuel do not differentiate between somebody using the word nechasim or nechasim elu or nechasai? V'tnan, hoim l'chaveroi, if I tell you, I'm never going to walk into your house. I'm never going to buy your property. If you sold it, your question, Rabbi Gorelick, or I gave it away, it's not yours. You said nechasai. It's not nechasai anymore. And therefore, I now could buy it. Mutter. However, I said lebayezeh, I didn't connect it to an owner. I just, this house, I could never enter. Lebayezeh shenei nechnas. I may never enter this house. I didn't connect it to a specific owner. I didn't connect it to a specific owner. Then even if the owner dies or sells it, so you see that there is a difference between the chasai and the chasam elu. So how could the Gemara suggest the Rav and Shmuel do not differentiate between the chasai and the chasam elu? Says the Gemara, El ke'amar Rav Yochanan Reish Lakish ben chasai, Rav and Shmuel ben chasam elu v'loi pligi. Now the Gemara takes a complete turn. We started the Gemara, we're having a very wide-ranging machlokes between Rav and Shmuel versus Rabbi Yochanan Reish Lakish, and not in complete agreement. In a case where the person said mechasai, everybody agrees, even if the nether was made before Shemitah, I said mechasai, my property. After Shemitah, it's not in the Shemitah, it's not my property. And therefore, the nether is not effective. Everybody agrees if I use the word mechasim elu, if I made it before Shemitah, the nether is effective even during Shemitah. And there's no machlokes. Says the Ran. He says, look at our Gemara. He says, throughout the Gemara, he kept on speaking about the opinion of Rav and Shmuel and the opinion of Rav Yochanan Reish Lakish. The Gemara always quoted the opinion of Rav and Shmuel first and then the opinion of Rav Yochanan Reish Lakish. Here the Gemara quotes the opinion of Rav Yochanan Reish Lakish before the opinion of Rav and Shmuel. What happened? So he says, beautiful pshat. As long as we thought that there's a machlokes of Rav and Shmuel versus Rav Yochanan Reish Lakish, we wanted to follow the opinion of Rav and Shmuel. That's the halacha. You follow the opinion of Rav and Shmuel. So we always attempted to analyze their opinion first. But now there's no machlokes. So it doesn't make a difference whose opinion we analyze first. And that's why the Gemara can say Rav Yochanan Reish Lakish before Rav and Shmuel. Continues the Gemara. B'nechasai, it was Shvius, but we learned during the Shemitah year, if I made this nether, and like we learned, if we made the nether during the Shemitah year, or if we made it before the Shemitah year, and I used the word nechasai, and you are able to take sadeu, you're not allowed to go into my field. But you are allowed to eat the fruit. Ask the Gemara. Very important Gemara. This is the basis for a good portion of Hilchos Shemitah, these four lines. Ask them, why are you allowed to eat the fruit? I made a nether. The answer is, the period of carrying them. In the Shemitah, they're not my fruit, the everybody's fruit, the Hefka. So the Gemara, Aranam Hefka. The land isn't mine either. So how come you can't walk into the property? Answers the Gemara, Amu Ula, but I'm Ilanus Al Gvum. As the Ran explains Ula's answer. Fruit of Shemitah is completely Hefker. Anybody could take it. The land isn't Hefker. You can't just take the land during Shemitah. The land is only Hefker up to the point, and no further than you could use the land to get the payers. So let's say the payers are on the border of the field, and you can reach those payers without going into the field. You have no right to go into the field. And that's why Ula says, the fruits that are hanging out, yes, you're allowed to get the fruit, but you have no right to go into the property. And this is the basis for a very important halacha. The Chazon Ish, Rav Chaim Kanievsky, discussed this at great length. Shemitah was saying you're allowed to walk into anybody's field. So people see, every field in Israel I could walk into. Wrong. I could only walk into the field if my purpose is to get the fruit. I can't just walk into your field. It's Shemitah year. Moreover, Chazon Ish has an interesting shaila. Let's say the only way to get into the field is by walking through your house. I'm allowed to go to the field, but I'm allowed to go to your house. Are you allowed to say, you can't just walk march through my house to go to the field? You have to knock, I have to let you in. Absolutely, says the Chazon Ish. Because you don't own the field, you only have the payers. Another interesting shaila, very common shaila. It's Shemitah in Eretz Yisrael. But people aren't going to want to leave the fields open because who knows what, and where could enter those fields. So could I put up a gate around the field, put a lock around on the gate, and put a sign, Anybody wants should knock on my door and get the key. But I don't have to leave the field completely open. Says the Chazon Ish, absolutely. Another Shaila. We know, for example, fruit. Most fruit that are Shemitah fruit aren't us in the seventh year. They're us in the eighth year. Because it's only what grows in the seventh year and is ready to be picked in the eighth year. So I'll be the Aloch if I have a field that has in it Shemitah produce and non-Shemitah produce. I don't have to leave the field open because you only have a right to go in for the Shemitah produce, not for the non-Shemitah produce. Another Shaila, just the opposite Shaila. It's the eighth year. And there you have, again, you have some eighth year produce, which is mutter, which is mine, the farmers, and you have some Shemitah produce because it only is available now. There, Rav Chaim Kanievsky says clearly, you can't just walk into the field. It's not Shemitah anymore. That's how Ula explains the Gemara. Rav Shimon Yochaimer, Gzeres Shemayish Bamida. He says, again, he follows the same concept. The land is not yours. The land is not yours. The land is only yours that you could get the fruit. So you're only allowed to go in to get the fruit. But there's a concern that if you're going to go in, you may tarry and you may stay in the field longer than it just takes to take the fruit. You have no heter for that. And therefore, Rav Shimon ben Yochum says, you may now walk into the field to get the fruit. And the Mefarshim explain, Rav Shimon ben Yochum is disagreeing with Ula. He doesn't hold like Ula that if I could get the fruit another way, I can't go into the field. He says, if this is the easiest way to get the fruit, get it. Our concern is a different concern. You may stay longer. So Mefarshim asks, we just discussed Rav Shimon ben Yochum's opinion the other day. Rav Shimon ben Yochum said that we had the same concern when somebody comes to me with somebody else, and I'm now a benefit from the chayla. So the Gemara says I should stay and not sit, because if I sit, I may stay too long. So the Gemara says, if you're standing, we're not going to stay too long. So here I'm standing. So why is Rav Shimon ben Yochum concerned? So the answer is very obvious. The normal way to do bikkur chayla is sitting. So if you're going to stand, it'll remind you your feet are going to start hurting, and that'll remind you to leave. But when you pick fruit, you can't pick fruit sitting. So there's not going to be anything to remind you that you're not allowed to stay here too long. Ask the Avni Maluim, Gvaldige Kasha. The Avni Maluim asks, the halach is as follows. Let's say I rent something to you. I rent you my field. The Gemara says in a number of places, we learned the Gemara Masechta Ksubis, that if I rent you a field, and then I'm magdish the field, the halach is that the hegdish is chal, the nether is chal. So he asks, yes, it's the Shemitah year. But why should it be any worse in the Shemitah year if I'm magdish the field or I make it also to you than if I'm magdish something that I rented? If I rented, it's not really my control, yet the halach is I can be magdish it. Why can't I be magdish or make a nether on a Shemitah field? Says the Avni Maluim son-in-law, this is the way the stipler, Rabbi Chanan, explain his answer. Beautiful answer. Fundamental to the understanding of Shemitah. He says, I own a field. I rent it to you. Who's the owner of the field? I am. I rent it to you. I leased it to you, but I'm the owner. Shemitah year, he says, I'm not the owner. Chili kolor, it says HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The field doesn't belong to you. So it's not like the field that you rented out. The field you rented out is really still yours. You have a deal. If you rented it out, here it doesn't belong to you. This Gemara is the basis for a very, very fundamental machlokes that's relevant to Hilchos Shemitah and Etz Yisrael. People who are a little familiar with the way people act in Shemitah and Etz Yisrael know their two minhagim. There's what's known as Minig Bnei Brak and Minig Yerushalayim. It really has nothing to do with Bnei Brak and Yerushalayim. It has to do with a machlokes Rishonim, a machlokes of the Beis Yosef versus the Mabit and his son, the Marit. The Beis Yosef holds that fields in Eretz Yisrael that are owned by Goyim, truly owned by Goyim, there's no din of Shemitah on those fields. And that's the Minig Yerushalayim. The Mabit and Marit say that if the field is in Eretz Yisrael, even though it's owned by a Goy, true ownership, doesn't make a difference. All of the fields in Eretz Yisrael, Shemitah affects. What is the basis of the Machlokes? The basis of the Machlokes is three words of our Gemara. Our Gemara said, Ara Nami Afgara. But if you look into the Ran, this is where the Pasa Shulchan explains this Gemara, The Ran adds one word to the Gemara. Aranami afkara rachmona. So according to the Ran, every field in Eretz Yisrael, afkara rachmona, becomes automatically hefker by Shemitah. Doesn't make a difference who owns it. A guy can own it. An Arab can own it. Afkara rachmona. That's the Mabit's opinion. The Beis Yosef, says the Pasa Shulchan, doesn't have the word afkara rachmona. He just says aranami afkara. It's only hefker when you make it hefker. And if you don't make it hefker, it's not hefker. So therefore, if the guy owns the property, he doesn't have a mitzvah to be mafker his land in Shemitah year, so it remains non-hefker. That's the basis of their very, very famous machlokes. And there are a lot of halachic ramifications. Because the halacha is that if you buy produce in Eretz Yisrael from a field owned by goyim in a non-Shemitah year, and you buy the produce when it's not ripe, and you do the gemar malacha, the halacha is you have to take off trumas and maisras. So what's going to be the halacha if a Jew buys produce from a goy who owns property in Israel, and he does the gemar malacha, this is during the Shemitah year? According to the Beis Yosef, it's no different than any other year, and you have to take off trumas and maisras. According to the Mabit, it's not his. It's like all other Shemitah produce, and the halacha is there's no chiv to take off trumas and maisras from Shemitah produce. But the Chazanish, who, that's why it's called the Minig Bnei Barak, because the Chazanish is Minig, who followed the opinion of Mabit, says L'chumri should take off trumas and maisras. But now, there's a Gevaldige Kasha. According to the opinion of the Beis Yosef, that the field in Shemitah does not automatically become Hefker. It only becomes Hefker because the Torah tells you to be Mafker it. And when you're Mafker it, it becomes Hefker. And the Torah doesn't speak to non-Jews. The Torah speaks to Jews. But and until you're Mafker it, it's not Hefker. So let's say a woman owns a field in Israel. Very common. A woman owns a field. Shemitah is a mitzvah sasei shazman groma. So if the field doesn't become Hefker until you're Mafker it, a woman doesn't have to be Mafker it. Women are absolved from mitzvah sasei shazman groma. Let's say a child owns the field. Child owns a field. Child is not mechuyiv b'mitzvahs. He's not mechuyiv to be Mafker the field. So why is Shemitah applicable to fields that are owned by women and children, according to the Beis Yosef? According to the Mabit, that they become automatically Hefker. So any Jewish field, whoever the owner is, man, woman, child, becomes automatically Hefker. But according to the Beis Yosef, that it requires an active act of Hefker. So they shouldn't be mechuyiv to be mafkerit. So we have a gevaldige geitza. You can have Jewish-owned fields that are owned by women. You can have Jewish-owned fields that are owned by children. The Chinuch, when he says mitzvah shvita, says very clearly, mitzvah zu naheges by noshim noshim. Why? What? But it's not Hefker. The Lysa says only once the field is Hefker. So perhaps, and this is not my own, it's based on what I saw from Ramosha, there's really maybe a middle ground. When the Beis Yosef says you have to be Mafkerit, so let's say you have a person that wasn't Mafkerit, doesn't mean it's not Hefker. It means it didn't reach the full level of the mitzvah. But if it's a situation where Hefker could be made, because I'm a Jew, to the non-Jew the Torah doesn't talk. To the Jew the Torah talks, and maybe that's what the Loisa say is saying, then even if I didn't actively be mafkerit, it still has the status of Shemitah, and therefore if it's owned by women or children, it's still also to use those payers.